everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show for this Monday, November the 5th, 2012, the day before the big election. Hope you had a great weekend. We are live weekdays Monday through Friday, noon to 1, on AM 1030 KVOI, the home of the Buckmaster Show, Tucson's intelligent voice. We're streaming our show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. You can hear our programs anytime, anywhere, thanks to our posting to my website, buckmastershow.com. The show is usually up there by about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We also post to the TucsonSentinel.com and TucsonCitizen.com, and there are links on the homepages of the Green Valley News and Soharita Sun, their websites, gvnews.com. And the homepage for Blog for Arizona also has the Buckmaster Show prominently displayed on their website, blogforarizona.com. We get things rolling as we do every Monday afternoon with the Monday Political Face-Off. That will be followed at 12:30. Lisa Bates will be with us. She's the president of the Tucson Wildlife Center, where a big donation is helping to get the ball rolling to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. And we'll close out the show with a conversation with Arizona's most famous vintner, Kent Callahan of Callahan Vineyards in Elgin in Santa Cruz County. We encourage you to be part of the conversation. The Buckmaster Show, live line 790-2040, 790-2040, or you can submit questions using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page, which is Bill Buckmaster. Every Monday, we kick things off with the Monday Political Face-Off. With me, Bruce Ash, Republican National Committeeman for Arizona, and Paul Eckerstrom, the Vice Chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe even makes house calls. He'll come out and take care of all of your needs. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Paul and Bruce, how are you gentlemen this afternoon?
Great.
Did you see any of that UCLA-Arizona game, Bruce Ash?
How do you make a sound of somebody getting nauseous?
And thankfully, I didn't watch the game. I went to the USC game. That was great.
There you go. I mean, how can a team do so well against USC and then come out and be so flat and get put up 66 points? I mean,
well, we play Colorado this week, so there's a chance we're going to get well real fast.
Yeah, we got to Colorado for breakfast, I guess. That's an 11:30 start time. Anyway, here we are. We are down now to just a few hours before the polls open, and the polls will be opening here in Pima County at 6 a.m. and close at 7 p.m. Paul, is President Obama going to have another 4 years?
Yes. I think the momentum in the polls have shifted slightly, but shifted in his favor. And it's going to be a close race, but I predict he'll get 303 electoral votes. He'll get 50.5% of the vote to 48.5% for Romney. And I think Obama's going to have a decent enough showing in Arizona, around maybe 6% off, that the demographic shifts in this state means I think in 2016, Arizona may end up being a battleground state, which I think would be good for the state. We get actually all this TV ad money and stuff that comes in. But I think there's a good chance we'll be a battleground state by 2016.
Quick follow-up before I get Bruce's prediction. If Obama does as well in Arizona, as you say, predict he will that help Carmona be elected U.S. senator?
Yeah, I think, that's a close race. And the polling data is a little old on that. I don't know where that's going. It's going to be close, and it's a tough race, uphill battle for Carmona. If it was 2016 with a little bit more shift in demographics, I think he wins it for sure. But this one's going down to the wire, and I don't know. It might be like the 1980 race between Goldwater and Schultz, where we didn't know for 20 hours after the election who won the race.
Okay, Bruce Ash, will Romney win, and why?
Well, Michael Barone earlier today came out with his prediction that Romney will win the election.
I want to tell our listeners a little bit about Michael.
Michael Barone probably is the most brilliant guy, being able to analyze elections on a national basis, practically down to the precinct and block by block. And Barone is somebody who is closely studied not just the battleground states, but the strengths or weaknesses of both candidates, even in their given states where they feel they'll have victory. Dick Morris is way too optimistic. It's not going to be a blowout. Even if Romney were to get, let's say, 300 electoral votes, it's going to be by the slimmest of margins, where he wins by a small percentage in, say, Ohio or Wisconsin, for example. There certainly are a lot of images that we're seeing on TV more and more, not just on Fox, but also on CNN, ABC, talking about the real significant problems, the despair that exists in the tri-state area after Superstorm Sandy last week. Lots of people not being helped out, and the president practically abandoning them to go campaign. Plus the questions about the Benghazi 9/11 killings, and what did the president know, and when did he know it? And there's a lot of people who are concerned that this was Barack Obama's 3 a.m. call, just as Hillary Clinton had called it in 2007, 2008, and he wasn't up.
Well, this shows Bruce is desperate when he starts talking about Benghazi. When he's talking about the fact that Sandy was a failure by the president, when everybody's saying that he has actually done a good job, and yes, there's a lot of cleanup that's going to take place, and it's going to take a while, but everybody, and frankly, I think it's the performance during that storm that has given Obama a slight trend in his favor at the closing days here in the polls.
No, the president got what is a normal kind of a bump that you get when there's a national emergency. Just like the debates, there was an immediate bump that President Obama received after debate 2 and 3. However, the longer the news cycle went and people really being able to see what happened, they turned the other direction. But the real problem for Barack Obama is the past 4 years on the economy. And Paul will like to say that, we are better off today than we are 4 years ago. Well, he and his friends are the only ones who believe it. And frankly, I'm not sure they believe it so much either.
Well, I'll just say this. I always said that if Barack Obama got below 8% on the unemployment rate by the time of the election, we're at 7.9 now, that he'd win. Now, 7.9 is barely under, and that's why it's going to be such a close race.
Barack Obama said in 2009, if I can turn this economy down in 3 years, it's going to be a one-term proposition. And I agree with Michael Barone. It's going to be a one-term proposition.
All right, 790-2040. Let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. Roger, you're up with Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom. Go ahead.
Yeah, one of the misleading things that Obama said is he wants to increase spending on education, which education is not the federal government's duty. And what the federal government does is they take money from the states that's not theirs, and then they use it as the carrot. So if we pass legislation they don't like, they withhold that money until we do what the federal government says. And that's totally unconstitutional. He's stepping into areas there that are to be governed by our state, and within our states where all our rights lie.
Okay, thanks, Roger. Let's get a comment here from Bruce or Paul.
I don't necessarily disagree that it's a state responsibility for education in this state. Our responsibility has been neglected by the state legislature, and we are now dropped from 26th in the 80s in per capita funding of schools to dead last, and it's showing in our test results, unfortunately. And frankly, I think that it can be laid at the feet of the Republican legislature. They've been in power since 1966. And I think you're going to see a closing of the gap in the legislature in this election cycle between Democrats and Republicans. I think in the Senate, for example, it'll probably be a 17-13 split in favor of the Republicans, maybe only a 16-14. And it'll get much closer, maybe within 6 or 8 seats in the House. So I think education is going to be a big issue in this state for the next decade because of the neglect that's taken place of our schools by the Republican legislature in this state.
Will 204 pass?
I don't think so, because there's been a huge amount of dark money that came in, people who are cowards who aren't willing to say who they are, to kill that, unfortunately, kill that bill that would help save our schools. The problem with the initiatives bill is that if there's organized opposition with any type of money, they can muddy the waters on the issues of an initiative, and people's inclination is to say no to any initiative if they don't quite understand it, and I think that's what's happening, unfortunately. I hope it gets over the finish line, but it's been dragged down by a lot of misleading ads that have been thrown in here by outside interests who are trying to tell us how to raise our kids.
What do you think, Bruce Ash?
Wow.
204, do you think it will? Do you agree with Paul that
I'll get
it
to
will not pass?
Yeah, I'll get to 204 in just a second to answer the caller's question.
Roger.
I think Roger's point is well taken and certainly is understood by me. Every time the federal government gives you something, they expect something in return. And, you know, we have a problem here in the state with Medicaid dollars, and they want to give us more money. Democrats have accused the legislature of killing people because we're not willing to accept the restrictions that they have placed on money. We've seen this happen over and over again. Their money leads to greater state spending because we're having to fill in that gap. On 204, no, I don't think it'll pass. And I reject respectfully what Paul just said about the outside sources. There's been all kinds of outside money and all kinds of money that have come from the other side, from the pro-204 forces, because they expect something in return for it. For example, the contractors supported the petition signatures, they spend $1 million, but they're going to get about $100 million a year out of the state for road construction projects. Worse yet with 204 is it takes the power of the purse away from the legislature and from the government and puts it literally in the hands of unions and a few public interest institutions who want to do what they're going to do, be damned what the legislature and the people who vote for
them. That's misleading. It doesn't put it in the hands of any unions. The contractors got involved with this, and it's only 10% of the money because the legislature has totally neglected our roads. Everybody that drives on our streets knows there's potholes.
Well, that's the city and county, Eckerson.
No, well, they swept the HERF funds.
No, you had $850 million you didn't spend. You blew it on other states.
Okay, we're going to take a break right here. This is the Monday Political Face-Off. Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerson with us. Some predictions coming up on the election. Stay with us.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 6 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, La Cañada from Ina to River, and Phase 2 of Saharita Road. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union, improve your financial life.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1-, 2-, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com.
Welcome back to the Monday Political Face-Off. Bruce Ash is with us, and Paul Eckerstrom, the Political Face-Off on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Bruce, we did not hear you comment on the Flake-Carmona race. You think Flake will have enough power up in Maricopa County that it will carry him to victory?
Polling would suggest that, and just intuitively, somebody who just cast their vote for Mitt Romney, who I think probably will win around 56% to 57% of the votes here in Arizona, I think it's going to be very difficult getting that same person to vote the other way. Pima County really is the pivotal part of the race. John Kyle found that out in 2006. John McCain found that out. Jan Brewer found that out. And really it worked in Janet Napolitano's favor when she ran both times. So the Pima vote for that election will decide. And I think there are people who have a lot of questions about Richard Carmona.
Actually, I think, you know, he's from Pima County, and I think that might help him in terms of getting a bigger lead here than normal. And the other thing about Carmona is I think he truly is independent-minded and fits the Arizona voting public. So I think you'll see some split voting in terms of Mitt Romney and voting for Carmona in the state.
Primary election change is known as the top two, Prop 121. Bruce Ash, you think that will change our system? Will this pass?
Well, Lord knows, I hope it doesn't pass. I think it's not just something that impacts the political parties, Bill and Paul. I think it's something that really impacts the course of government. And I don't think it's a good thing. This was bad policy. Mm-hmm. And I think there's lots of independents who feel the same way.
You know, I agree with Bruce on this one. Obviously, we're both partisans on either side. And although I would be open to an idea that would be similar to this, but this thing just doesn't work. There's all sorts of reasons why, but it just doesn't work. And I think it's a failed attempt. And one of the things I really don't like about it is it gets rid of the Clean Elections program by this initiative, and I think that's a horrible thing that would happen. It would reduce access to our government for people to be able to run for office. Then this rich people basically could run for office.
Bruce, Proposition 409, the Tucson Road Bonds.
Well, I don't get a vote in this election because I don't live in the city. I'm 100 yards outside. I have a feeling that just like 204, 409 is going to have a hard time passing. There's a lot of folks who are worried about this fiscal cliff that we all face at the end of the year. And I think with so much uncertainty and sort of a mistrust about Tucson city government, I think that probably has a tough way to go.
Paul, you live in the city?
No, actually, I live just a block out of it. But again, I use the city roads, and there are lots of potholes, and people complain about it all the time. And this is a bond issue to address that directly. So if people really do care about their potholes that they seem to always complain about, this is the way to solve it.
Well, for anybody who hasn't made up their mind on 409, let me just remind you that there is a huge unfunded liability for the city of Tucson on their retirement plan. So, you know, sure, they can bond, but we've got a whole bunch of unfunded liabilities that are out there for many, many city workers and officials who are going to retire in the next 6 to 8, 10 years.
We do. This is a bond issue, though. And what it is we borrow money. We have bond space to do it in the city, and it shouldn't really affect what Bruce was saying about the fiscal in the maintenance operation of the city. It is something we pay back eventually over time, but it's the way we've always dealt with roads, and now's the time to start fixing some of these roads that have really been neglected over the past number of years because of the recession.
If you have an early ballot, you can take it to the polling place.
Yes, it'll be counted as a provisional ballot. I encourage anybody who has not voted yet and who was an early voter, take that ballot with you. If you have any questions, I'll give the Republican phone number, which is 321-1492, 321-1492, for any questions that you might have. But please go to your polling places. You know, we all have said for months and months and months, this is the most important election of our lifetime. Don't sit this one out.
And I agree with that. It is important. If you had mail-in ballot that you have not mailed in,
yeah, it's too late to put it in the mail.
Exactly.
Put it in the
you
mail.
Need to take it to your polling place and just drop it off. It'll be counted as a provisional ballot and eventually be counted totally as a vote. So that's really important. If you didn't vote by mail, then just go to your polling place and vote. And again, I'll give the Democratic number 326-3716. That's 326-3716 if anybody has any questions about where they need to vote and how to vote.
Congressional races, some quick – Paul, why don't we begin with you. Mm-hmm. 1, 2, and 3. District 1, Peyton versus Kirkpatrick.
That's very close. There's a Democratic registration advantage. Ann Kirkpatrick's from the rural areas, Apache County she grew up in. I have a feeling that she edges out Peyton in a very close race because of that.
Jonathan Peyton received the endorsement of the Tribal Council for the Navajo Nation Friday. Ann Kirkpatrick's campaign has literally imploded over the last couple of weeks. Jonathan Peyton has worked this thing hard for a long, long time. I predict he will win. He will win rather handily, and he will probably be the representative from that district for the next 20 years.
Ron Barber in District 2, Bruce Ash, or Martha McSally?
I think it's going to be Martha McSally because I think even a growing number of Democrats see her as the viable replacement to Gabby Gifford, somebody who understands government from a female perspective. And the Barber campaign has tried very, very hard, and the DCCC has tried very hard to paint Martha McSally in a certain fashion. She nails it on the issues, and she will be in the same kind of a pattern as Gabrielle Giffords, as Jim Colby, as Mo Udall. She will make a great representative for this district.
Paul Eckerstrom, Ron Barber will win, you feel?
Yeah, Gabby Giffords endorsed him. He came out of that whole tragedy strong, and I think, frankly, bipartisan, and I think he's going to win by about 2 to 3 points.
And how about Raul Grijalva?
He'll win going away because the Republican candidate is just frankly, a bad candidate.
Well, if the Republicans lose in that district, it's mainly a registration advantage. It'll be closer and more competitive than people think.
All right. Bruce and Paul, thank you very much. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by our friends at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. It's a family-owned and run operation, high-quality work over there. They've been around since 1985. Moe's, we send all of our framing needs at the Buckmaster household to Moe's, and we always recommend them. They do great quality work. With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The presidential campaigns are enlisting some star power on this Election Day Eve. Bruce Springsteen, traveling with President Obama today, will open rallies for him in Wisconsin, Ohio, and Des Moines. The Marshall Tucker Band will join Mitt Romney in Columbus, Ohio, this evening. Drivers in New York and New Jersey are spending a lot of time getting gas, but they're also not paying that much more for it. Gas prices are up an average 3 cents in New York, 7 cents in New Jersey. Meanwhile, the New York Attorney General is investigating hundreds of reports of price gouging of victims of the superstorm that struck last week. On Wall Street, the Dow currently unchanged at 13,094, the NASDAQ up 12, the S&P is flat. More details at srnnews.com.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cunada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Now in its seventh year, the RTA has finished over 400 projects, including five major roadways. Current projects include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. With ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service, providing jobs and making travel around our region faster and safer, the RTA is delivering our promise to you.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
The Rugg Gallery is celebrating its 25th anniversary jubilee celebration with a colossal tent sale, offering up to 75% off at La Encantada Shopping Center at Campbell and Skyline in Tucson. With over 2,000 hand-woven imported rugs from around the globe, the Rugg Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. With an international reputation, the Rugg Gallery has graced the cover of Christie's magazine and is featured in many other high-end publications. Stop by and check out the Rugg Gallery with Arizona's largest in-stock inventory of fine, high-quality, hand-woven, imported rugs during the colossal tent sale with up to 75% off at Tucson's La Encantada Shopping Center in the foothills of the Catalinas. Or visit the Rugg Gallery online at ruggalleryaz.com/sale or call 571-RUGGS.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, now at 12:35 on this Monday edition. Support for the Buckmaster Show comes in part from our friends at Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Splendido is a true continuing care retirement community for adults 55 and better. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Well, the nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center typically cares for 800 or more injured raptors and mammals that it receives each year. Now, thanks to a generous donation of $575,000 from the estate of Arizona resident Sam Goldman, a new hospital is in the works. This would be the first state-of-the-art hospital devoted especially to wildlife in Arizona. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show is Lisa Bates, and Lisa is the president of the Tucson Wildlife Center. Lisa, good to see you. How are you doing?
Good to see you, Bill, and thank you for having us today. We're very excited.
Well, we're happy to have you, and this is really good news about Mr. Goldman's estate with that money. This is great seed money. Tell us a little bit about, first of all, the history of the Tucson Wildlife Center.
Okay, we started it 14 years ago. I was a co-founder with Pete Leininger, and it started with a little raccoon that had been hit by a car and needed help. We couldn't find help anywhere. So we basically started the center with the idea to get all the wildlife that needed help some good medical care, and get them back to their families.
Lisa, didn't it start, and was it out of your home, or where did you put initially the injured animals?
Initially, we started with a few enclosures on a 3.5 acres. We have grown and turned it over to the nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center that we started, and we're now on 5.5 acres with lots of good medical care, volunteer veterinarians, Pantano Animal Clinic and Southern Arizona Vet, Dr. Ashley Rhodes. They do lots of other vets, Dr. Boulay and Dr. Gordon.
Yes, of the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson, one of our wonderful sponsors here on the Buckmaster Show, Dr. Boulay and his great team. They've been helping you out as well.
They help us with the orthopedics and the animals that get hit by cars. A lot of wildlife get hit by cars, and whether it's Tucson or surrounding community, we do all of Southern Arizona. And we specialize in the large animals like the eagles, and we have an eagle in right now, hawks, owls, the bobcats and coyotes and javelinas.
A lot of times, are they the babies that have been, well, people say they've been abandoned, or perhaps they're injured babies?
Some of them are injured.
It's hard to tell whether they've been abandoned, I guess, right?
Well, we've gotten pretty good at the CSI because the animals can't speak. So
that's it.
We have to figure out what happened to them. And a lot of times their moms might get hit by cars or, you know, when hunting season comes, we get a lot of scared babies that are left behind. So we take care of them. We join them as a herd with a new family. And then they get released on a private ranch that's, you know, protected and good habitat for them.
Talk about the new ground. Well, you had the groundbreaking, I think it was last week, at your facility on East Speedway. This is the new hospital that's going to be built. This is pretty exciting stuff.
This is very exciting. We did have the groundbreaking, and I'd like to do a shout-out to Sonora Masonry for their work in getting this hospital started. We expect to be finished with the first phase of the hospital in about 9 months, and that will be the area where we can get the radiology, the surgery room, all of the new enclosures, because we have been growing. We're doing almost 800 animals a year.
Wow.
And our facilities are being outgrown. So we needed the hospital badly. And the executors of Mr. Goldman's estate, he wanted his estate to go to help wildlife. And so they searched three states, and they picked us to build this hospital.
Wonderful. So this is really, there's nothing like this in Arizona, even up in Maricopa County.
We're probably the first state-of-the-art wildlife hospital that's available to all the wildlife in our region.
Well, it's something we can all be proud of in this area, and this is going to be a new 4,000-square-foot hospital, so we're talking about a good size here, right?
It is, and we're especially excited about it becoming a training center for wildlife veterinarians. There's very few veterinarians who can specialize in wildlife, and the whole country, but especially Arizona, needs wildlife-trained vets, so we hope to train rehabbers. Anybody out in the community is invited to come for rehab training if you would like to help little birds, bunnies, all the way up to hawks and eagles. We can get you the training, and there's a big need for rehabilitators to help wildlife out there.
Well, there you go. So if anyone is interested in, if they love animals like I certainly do and my family, this is a great opportunity for people to volunteer their services for the Wildlife Center, Tucson Wildlife Center. Lisa Bates is the president of that nonprofit organization, and she's with me in studio here on the Buckmaster Show. And yes, it was wonderful that the Goldman family put this seed money up, but it's going to cost some bucks here to get this done, and that's where the community comes in. You need about $1 million, right?
We're shooting for about $1.5 million. That's our goal, and that will help us get an on-site, full-time wildlife veterinarian and the facilities that we really need to become a premier wildlife hospital.
What's the best way to donate? Probably online, wouldn't you say?
You can contact us anytime at our emergency number, which also goes through to our development people, and that is 290-WILD. And also going online, we have an up-to-date great website at TucsonWildlife.com.
How about you? How did you get involved in all of this? Someone who obviously loves animals, you said that all of this kind of came together 14 years ago.
Well, as a kid growing up in Tucson, I used to rescue all the little animals and bring them home. There wasn't such a thing as wildlife rehabilitators back then, so we didn't know much about what we were doing. I went on for a science career, agricultural pathology, and I was lucky enough to retire a little bit early and said, what do I really want to do? And that was go back and help those little wild critters. So I took training at the Desert Museum and under some wildlife veterinarians. And when that little raccoon came along that needed help, we got it for him.
Talk a little bit about when an animal, say that people come across a bird that's fallen out of the nest. What is the protocol in that area, Lisa?
Calling us first is the thing to do. You don't want to handle like a baby bobcat that you find. Please do not pick him up. They will bite when they're almost a newborn. And if you're bitten, that's big trouble for him. He's not going to make it through that because of the rabies possibilities. So call us first about handling the mammals. And even the little birds and bunnies, a lot of times they're fledging normally. And they'll spend a week on the ground hopping around learning how to fly. And sometimes people think that they have a broken wing or something's wrong, when actually it isn't. So we can determine that on the phone.
So they will spend time hopping around normally, I guess.
Yes.
I mean, like the baby birds may spend some, as you say, up to a week on the ground.
Yes. So
I didn't realize that.
And so we ask questions over the phone to determine whether the little baby is injured or not. And if it sounds like a normal fledging, then we, you know, advise to just leave them alone, let the parents continue to care for them.
And again, you guys handle the eagles, hawks, owls, bobcats, coyotes, javelina, I guess everything in between.
We do.
The
Game and Fish Department just brought us a golden eagle a couple of days ago. And usually they do come in lead poisoned from, you know, eating lead that's left out in the field, maybe during hunting season. We did determine that this bird was not lead poisoned and he just was a poor competitor. It's the time of year when the fledglings are leaving the parents and having to hunt on their own. And he apparently wasn't successful, so he came in very thin and dying. But now he's a beautiful, big golden eagle.
Wonderful.
And gaining weight.
Oh, that's what we like to hear. We love to hear those wildlife success stories. And folks will be hearing more about the Tucson Wildlife Center throughout 2013 here on the Buckmaster Show. So let's go over where folks can donate online. Any amount of money is welcome.
You betcha. Any amount, as low as $5, we're happy.
Why not? Okay, it's TucsonWildlife.com. That's one the online area for you to donate. Or if you come across an animal and you need to get some advice quickly, or if you want to donate over the phone, 290-WILD will get you there. How's that, Lisa?
That sounds great.
All right. Thank you very much. Congratulations on the seed money for the first state-of-the-art wildlife hospital here in Arizona. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Bill.
Okay.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media, or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
My name is Mark Layton, and I'm the IT guy over at O'Neill Printing. In order to serve my Tucson clients, I've got to be able to quickly receive files up to 10 gigs in size. That's why we made the switch to Cox Business. We used to have an internet connection that could barely handle more than 2 file uploads at a time. With Cox Business, our connection is 10 times faster, and our bill is 40% less. Now that's what I call a no-brainer.
Get to know the business side of Cox at coxbusinessaz.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. In this portion of the Buckmaster Show, presented by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico, it's just 3.5 hours east of Tucson to historic Silver City, known for its vibrant arts community. Downtown Silver City hosts a variety of galleries, gift shops, historic buildings, fine dining, and quaint homes. And there's plenty of great accommodations in Silver City, including the Continental Divide RV Park, Baywood Hot Springs Resort, and Little Toad Creek Inn. Find out more by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. While the growing legion of lovers of wines from southeastern Arizona have something very good to look forward to, joining us now on the Buckmaster Show live line from Elgin, Arizona in Santa Cruz County is Kent Callahan, owner of Callahan Vineyards. Kent, how are you today?
Good, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing real well, and I guess you all are celebrating the big harvest. Why does this harvest look so good this year?
Well, we basically had about the best weather you could possibly ask for. Most of us escaped any kind of spring frost, warm early, which helps a bit, but then, at least for us, down in the south, temperatures tapered off considerably. We got a decent bit of rain, but it fell at the right time, and there wasn't much of a disease or rot issue this year. So, and we've had great weather for the last month and a half or so, perfect for ripening.
Well, there's a lot of quality or quantity, so how's the quality going to look, Kent?
Oh, it's very good. There's no question about it. I would say overall, when you balance those two things out, it's a great, great vintage. Quantity is way up there, and quality is outstanding. We have a lot of really good stuff in our winery, and I know a lot of my friends do all over the southern part of the state.
What makes a very good wine now in this part of Arizona? What are some of the keys?
Well, I think southern Arizona wine tends, or grape growing regions, we tend to make wines that are deeper, pretty full wines, fleshy, easy to drink, and full of flavor, basically. It's one nice thing about being in a warm, sunny climate, generally speaking. You just get full, rich wines.
You lost, I understand, half of your crop to last year's frost. I guess last year was not a good year, huh?
Yeah, well, actually, we lost about 85% of it to a spring frost. Yeah, it was a fairly brutal one, following on the heels of hail in 2010. So we're ecstatic that we have a really good harvest and quite a sizable one, too.
You've been a pioneer in this industry in Arizona. How has this industry, the wine industry, expanded in recent years?
Well, I think when we started back in 1991 with our first vintage, we planted the vineyard in 90, but the first vintage was 91. I think there were probably 10 bonded wineries. I think we're over 60 now. So, and much of that growth has occurred just in the last, say, 6 to 8 years. So it's definitely on the upswing. And the nice thing is a lot of the new people that have come into the industry are quite serious about what they do. They love wine. And that's really what it takes, because it's not an immediately profitable enterprise.
A lot of folks enjoy going down there for tasting and tours. Tell us about your operation and how you make yourself very open to the public.
Well, yeah, there are several of us just right off the Elgin Road here in the Sonoyta-Elgin area. We're open Thursday through Sunday, 11 to 4 now. And you can come in anytime, bring a glass from another winery in or get one from us, and we can set you up with tasting. It's very informal. Most of the people that come down are going to talk to the owner-operator of any given vineyard. So it's nice. You get to talk to people that are actually directly involved in the making and growing of the wines.
What's your own personal experience? How did you get into winemaking?
My dad, actually, was a home winemaker for a couple of years. They had seen Gordon Dutt at Sonoyta Vineyards put the first commercial vineyards in Arizona in 1980, roughly, and they just decided they wanted to do a commercial operation. I was effectively right out of college, so they just asked me if I wanted to move down here and help them plant a vineyard and start a winery, which certainly sounded like a good idea when I was 23. So it's been a lot of fun.
So what wine, what type of varietals then do very well in Arizona, in southern Arizona specifically?
Well, a few of the Bordeaux varieties, but also we're going into Spanish varieties quite a bit. We're also, like Tempranillo, an esoteric variety called Graciano, which is a blending grape used in Rioja, Morvedra and Grenache, which are actually the French names for what are originally Spanish grapes as well. So I would say Spain in general is a good place to look, southern-ish parts of Italy, central southern Italy. But we're basically experimenting and just seeing exactly what does work. It's one thing to look at something on paper and think it's going to work. It's another thing to plant it in the ground and see how it handles both very warm years and very wet years here. So we're starting to nail it pretty good now. We have some pretty good viable, especially with reds, viable options.
Kent Callahan is our guest here on the Buckmaster Show. He's the owner of Callahan Vineyards down in Elgin in Santa Cruz County, where the industry has really taken off. In fact, right now, there are starting out, the Arizona Wine Growers Association has now more than, I guess, 60 bonded wineries, something like that?
Yeah, 60, I think. We're a little over now, and I think it's going to expand again. Just next year. I know there are several waiting in the wings to get bonded and actually open officially.
As tourism has really taken off in the California wine-growing areas, of course, a lot of people make special trips up to Napa, and now the Pasos Robles area is just growing. I'll be up in that area actually next weekend. That area has just taken off. How do the wines here in Arizona compare to the California, say, Central Valley wines?
Well, I would say in general, and very generally speaking, California wines have an ease to them, moderate climate. I think that the wines from Arizona tend to actually show more old world characteristics, French and Spanish wine characteristics, than, say, most of the stuff that I generally drink in California. And I think some of it has to do with that our climate is much more old world in style, and the fact insofar as we get summer rainfall is almost a given. It's just a matter of how much and when. California and the West Coast in general does not get, generally speaking, much rain at all in the summer. So kind of a throwback. We started out drinking French, you know, European wines, generally speaking, so it's kind of nice to see that same kind of structure and age-worthiness show up in Arizona wines as well.
Let's talk a little bit about whites. You're not Chardonnay, not a big one here in southern Arizona.
Well, it's one of those things. It's a very early budding variety, so it is very susceptible to spring frost. So, and that is certainly something that we can have almost regularly. Actually, it's so early that I think Chardonnay is probably not a good bet at all, except in very, very well selected sites. But the real point, I think, is that you have to find the varieties that give you your best wine, white wine or red, and whether or not they're currently popular isn't so much of a problem when you're small, because generally we're hand-selling these wines anyway, so we can explain why we do what we do. A lot of the wines are sold in tasting rooms, so you can actually try Morvedra, for instance. It's still an esoteric red variety, even though it's grown all over the world. It's generally used for blending. It's a great one here. We can explain to people why we grow it and why we bottle it, and it's almost a selling point. the fact that people have not heard of it and actually really love the wine.
Yeah, something different. Folks looking for a different kind of wine, I strongly suggest going to Callahan Vineyards or any of the vintners down in Santa Cruz County. What's the best way to reach you from Tucson, Kent?
From Tucson, it's you just take I-10 east towards El Paso, exit 281, which is Highway 83, State Highway 83. You head south about 26 miles, and the next stop sign after you get off the off-ramp there is Sonoyta, is the intersection of Highway 82 and Highway 83, which is Sonoyta, and there are tasting rooms just to the east of the intersection, Dos Cabezas, and then the rest of us are a little bit further south on 83, about 8 miles. So
Kent Callahan.
There are 11 of us down here.
Great, 11 to check out. Kent, thank you very much. Good luck to you.
Oh, thanks, Bill.
All right, Kent Callahan from the Vineyards, the Callahan Vineyards. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water. What is it about Culligan? Well, folks, it simply tastes better. Election night. Tomorrow, KVOI goes on the air with the election coverage, 7 o'clock tomorrow. And then on Wednesday, the Buckmaster Show, of course, devoted to breaking down the election. Sarah Garrett Gasson of The Star will be with me, and Mark Evans of TucsonCitizen.com. And, of course, we'll be having some guest interviews with some of the folks who were some of the winners of the election. That's the Buckmaster Show on a Monday. Have a great afternoon.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.